The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. What's going on?
Hey, USA, what's going on? Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene each and every week to help you guys find out what's happening in TV, movies, music, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're so proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB. And you can always get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And it is a new week, and I am so excited. And I say it every week, but I get more and more and more excited to see my incredible producer, Matt Monarch. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Doreen, and you lie every week. Thank you.
No, I'm very overly complimentary. I'm exuding positivity.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's so much so that you don't know if it's true or not.
That's the story of my life. Nobody knows what I'm saying half the time.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of things that no one knows what I'm saying, I learned a lot of words this week. I don't know what, I'm big with like a lingologist, I don't know what that word is.
Sure.
Yeah, something like that.
You like words.
I like words.
You're a linguist.
Linguist. Yes, and I'm not going to say any jokes. But yes, I love to learn new words, and I love words that are like in the Urban Dictionary. Do you ever like look them up and kind
every
of
every once
like,
in
laugh?
A while, because it's ever expanding. Somebody makes up a new word every day.
Every day. And some of them stick. I got to say, some of them are actually part of...
You say stick or stink?
Well, both. Probably.
A lot of them
little
stink.
Column A, little column B.
Yeah.
But they do stick around for a while. And I think, you know, like when we do our recap of the year and we come up with these new words and we always do like what new words came out that year, it's kind of those kinds of words that you just... Where did that come from? You know?
I
don't know.
Some of them I still don't know what they mean. Like one, I remember in a... Your review this past one, you talked about the word Riz.
Yes.
I still have no idea what the hell that
Somebody's
means.
Somebody's trying so hard to make Riz a word. I don't know who that person is, but every time they're saying, this is the word of the year, this is a good word, I still have never heard one human being in public use the word Riz.
No, it's like, you ever see the movie Mean Girls and she tries to
Fetch. Yeah, it's not happening. It's not going to happen.
No.
And I'm not going to use it. But we've used it a lot, actually. Maybe we're the people perpetuating the word Riz at this point.
But we still don't know what it means.
But then, you know, there's these words that, you know, because we're on the radio and now we're on TV. And we got to be really careful. Because I learned a word and I found it fascinating. But I was like, can I bring it up? Because it's kind of one of these words that sound like something else, like the George Carlin words you can't say.
Right.
And it's called an ask hole. Was that good enough? Was that clean enough for you?
Yeah, I think you enunciated
the K. Did I enunciate the
K?
Ask hole?
Mm-hmm. A-S-K.
H-O-L-E, yes.
Right.
Yeah, that is, I learned that that is a person who constantly will ask you for your advice, but never ever takes it. That's called an ask hole.
I kind of like that word.
I kind of do too. I'm going to actually probably incorporate that into a little more of my vocabulary now.
Yeah, just make sure you say it slow, because I mean,
No, not in regular land. Just in radio and TV land, I can't.
As long as you want them to know what you're actually calling them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it could be a little comment, on that too. Do you know any ask holes?
Probably.
Yeah, I have a few. I think I've had a few over the years.
Yeah.
I know. If they just took my advice just once, we'd be a lot, you know, happier. But
or they take pieces of your advice and then create their own narrative or their own
and then
thoughts.
Blame you when it doesn't work out right.
Yeah.
But they didn't take your advice the way you said it.
Or if it's something that works, they take credit, even though in their mind they're thinking of something, a little bit of what you said, and then created their own.
It's so, true. It's true.
Which makes them...
George Carlin would be so proud. But speaking of creating things, Poo Haiku was another one that I learned this week. It's called Poo Haiku.
Yeah, I know the two words,
well,
but
poo,
I don't know
I can
them
say.
Together.
I can say poo all day long.
Yeah, but I've heard the two words. I just don't know them together.
Apparently, it's people who write poetry on the bathroom stalls while they're taking a dump.
So they're using a pen?
I hope they're
or
using
a
pen. I hope they're using some writing instrument and not whatever's coming out.
Because the word in my mind, I'm thinking they're using that to write something.
I got to say, though, when I'm in that position, the last thing I'm doing is creating haikus.
Yeah.
I'm just happy something's coming out, you know.
You're going by poo.
Oh my gosh.
That was stupid. What a stupid joke.
You should write that one, you know, after we're done with the show and we wrap. You should go and write that one on the bathroom stall.
Yeah. I hope nobody's using it to write. Or I might be impressed because I'm like, well, how much writing? Well, I mean, what'd you eat? That you could write a whole haiku.
And the color of the quote-unquote ink changes, apparently, with what the diet is. So,
oh, my God.
All right. This is going way off the rails. I think we've talked a lot. But I think this is going to be something I revisit, all these words that we kind of I'm hearing. And maybe we'll make one like fetch, and we're going to make it work. But it's not going to be Riz. I'm telling you now. It's not going
to
be Riz.
It's just to avoid the feces.
All right. On that note, my producer, Matt, I think we should get to our first amazing guest today.
Oh, let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. Before there was J-Lo and Selena, there was Latino American hip hop pioneer Lisa Velez, better known as Lisa Lisa of Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. One of the greatest pop divas to come out of the 80s, Lisa's breakout hits helped catapult the underground genre of freestyle music into mainstream and sold millions of albums in the process. Take a listen. I know what I want to say. Not just a hugely successful recording artist, Lisa Lisa also made waves in the entertainment industry when she crossed over to acting and appeared on hit shows like Law & Order SVU and Nickelodeon show Taina. Lisa Lisa is still rocking stages across the country and is making stops in major cities throughout all of 2024. She is definitely a pioneer and a trendsetter of an entire generation, and I am thrilled to have her on the show today to talk with me. Welcome to The Scene with Doreen, Lisa Lisa. What's going on?
Everything is going on. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I love to have you. I mean, it's an honor. It really is an honor for me.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here for you.
I have a lot of really great accomplished guests, but not many have made history. But you, on the other hand, you were the first Puerto Rican Latino artist to cross over to the pop and R&B charts. How blessed do you feel that you have that honor?
I'm blessed. I'm extremely honored. And I'll take that. Thank you so very much.
We'll take it, too. I mean, you really, really, for an entire group of people, you paved the way. You opened doors that most people could never even dream of.
Oh, thank you so much for that. First Latina artist to cross over, you know, and I'm here for my people.
I love it. You were born and raised in New York City. You came from quite a large family. You were the youngest of 10, so you were the baby. Yeah, so your parents were probably, well, your mom was very, very tired probably at that point.
Oh, rest her soul, she was.
Oh, she was a singer too, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. She started out in Puerto Rico. My mom was born in Spain, Barcelona, and she was raised in Puerto Rico, and my father is from Puerto Rico. And she and my father met, and they were in a parranda, and that's a band. Mm-hmm. And she was the lead vocalist, and they used to go around knocking on people's doors, and they would get paid by, they were given a plate of food to sing for people by knocking on their doors.
Oh, how nice. Now, they brought the Spanish to you at home, though. You spoke Spanish at home, but you spoke English at school, so you had to kind of flip between the two languages. Now, did that ever get confusing for you? You know, you were an A student, though, so it couldn't have been too confusing.
It wasn't confusing at all. I remember being in a classroom, and right next door, my mom would be there learning English in another classroom. So it was always Spanish at home. You had to, you know, your culture, everything about that at home. And I learned in English while I was in school and out in the streets as a kid. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very early on, you were in a traveling singing group, and you would perform selections from classic musicals, which I love. My background is on, you know, Broadway and a lot of the classical side. So what musicals did you really love to do when you were growing up? What did you really like? What spoke to you?
Oh, of course, The Wiz. That was my very first musical that I went to when I was 12. My sister took me to sing. And it was The Wiz, and it was Annie, and it was Chicago, and it was, so many. Anything on Broadway I lived for, because, I mean, I lived a couple of blocks down from Broadway. So we got to see all of it.
If you could do any role, and it would be your just dream, no matter if it was in your voice type or not, what would be the role in a musical that you would just love to play?
Oh, wow. I'm going to be very stuck up right now. And the one role I would love to play is a musical about myself.
I love it. That is the trend right now. Oh, you need it. You need a biopic musical right now. I think someone should get, you know, we had Bob Gowdy on the show, who was Jersey Boys. And he also had done the Neil Diamond musical that's still playing. So I don't know. Maybe there could be some kismet here.
I'm putting it out in the universe.
Well,
let's work.
I'm glad you said it here on The Scene with Doreen. Yeah. So I'm going to say that if anyone is listening, hit my people up and my people will get to your people. And we're going to make that happen.
Thank you.
No, I would love you. You really do have a fascinating story. And the more I did research on you and I learned about it, and just like I said, being that trendsetter, being that person to open doors. Did you ever take formal singing lessons or vocal training, or did this just come as a natural talent for you?
I'm going to be very honest. It was very natural for me. I started singing in the church choir with my mom. My mom used to run the church choir, and it was all females in St. Benedict's in Manhattan, which is no longer. But she started me out. I think I was 5 or 6 when I did the Ave Maria. And I saw the reaction on my mom's face, and I went from there. I saw that, and I was like, this is what I want to do. So I started going to this program with my oldest sister, who's a trained opera singer. Mm. And yeah, she used to be in the chorus for Carnegie Hall. And we went to this company called Intar, and I started learning there. It wasn't taught. It was just they would hand you something, and you had to learn it. You had to learn it and sing.
Wow.
And that's how I went to school for it. And I think the only training I got was from being on a stage and breathing lessons I got.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would shake your thing while you're on stage, and you knew how to have breath support and be able to hold the notes. I mean, whatever you learned, however you did it, God love you, you figured it out because it worked.
It was honestly the love of what I was doing and still am doing, and I will continue to nurture that. This is my the love of everything for me, my craft. This is my only vice. So I got to maintain it. I got to keep it good.
Now, how do you protect it? What do you do? Do you have a ritual? Do you do things to kind of, because you're still out there touring, you're still doing this. So what do you do? Are you like into lemon tea? What is your thing, your vice that you love to use? Just a lot of hydration, right?
A lot of hydration, a lot of water. I live on water. That and I'm breathing and just with my background vocalist and, of course, Toni Minaj. She is my MD and my assistant manager, and she's a fantastic vocalist herself, and she helps me a lot as well.
Now, do you have a vocalese that you go to before you, like a warm-up that when you're going on stage, like I'm a lip trill girl. I love to do a good old lip trill. Do you have something you do that you kind of just loosen it up and let things flow, or you just kind of go out there?
Go and breathe. I got to breathe, and I got to meditate, and I got to roll those lips.
There's the lip trill, baby. You got them too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, breathing and control, and I pray a lot. I pray a lot.
I think you have to in the music industry. And in life in general, but definitely in the music industry.
Yeah.
You have really that I was discovered in public backstory. You really, like everybody said, they were at a coffee house or that. And I always said, that doesn't exist. People don't have that story. But you really were discovered at a place, which is an underage club and called the Fun House in Manhattan. And you were discovered.
Yes, I was actually told by a friend that this roadie for a production company group was looking for female vocalists. So I went. I got in, I snuck in, and I met this guy, and he said, I heard you can sing. I said, yes, I can sing. Mm-hmm. I was very cocky. Yeah, I can sing. And he said, all right, well, meet me here. And I went to this audition that following Thursday, and I met Full Force. Yes. And I sat for them, and they gave me a cassette, and they said, take this home and meet us the following Tuesday at a recording studio. And I got the gig.
Oh, that, what, talk about being in the right place at the right time. Can you imagine? I talk about this with a lot of my guests, that one thing in your life that if it didn't happen that way, if something happened, you maybe didn't feel good that day, you didn't want to go, or you were in traffic or something happened, but that could have altered the whole course of your life. Do you ever look at that and just kind of go, oh my goodness, you know, that thank goodness for the doors that opened.
Thank God for that. I mean, if I wasn't so afraid to get on that train and meet this group of people, and get out there and do this audition and get in trouble when I got home. The cops were there waiting for me because I didn't go to school.
Oh,
and she whooped me. She was like, where? I was like, scared her. If I didn't do that and have, you know, the hoof to do it,
yeah,
I would have never made it.
Now, if that didn't happen, that serendipitous meeting did not happen, did you ever think what your alternative path would have been in your life? Do you ever think there was something else that maybe you would have loved to have been? Or has just always been, you knew this is what you wanted?
I knew forever that this is what I wanted. And I was going to do whatever I had to do within reason to get there. Because I live to sing. I live to perform for people. That is everything for me. So I was going to be knocking down doors.
And you did. And you did. Now, everyone probably asks you this, and I have to do it because I'm sure my listeners want to know, why Lisa? Why not Lisa V or Lisa Velez? Why? Was it like the double your pleasure, double your fun kind of thing that you had to have it? You were so great. You had to have it twice. Lisa.
I love that. I'm going to keep that. But truth be told, I went every time I was around the guys, well, you know, my producers and managers at the time, Full Force, they would never look above the chin.
Oh, I know that has not changed in all these years. That still is the way it is.
Still is. And it's all right. You know, I'll take that. I'll take it.
You know, it's part of the industry. I know people always say, well, it's not. Yeah, it is. I mean,
I'm a fighter. So, you know, I was very, you know.
You knew you were there to create. You were there to be artistic. And if you know what, they liked you and they thought you were cute. So what? Let it happen. You know what? That's what, you know, helps put butts in seats and sell tickets too. Got to say, you were a cutie. You're still a cutie.
You know, I was about, you can think I'm cute in private to yourself. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just don't affect the way they treat you.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You've been essentially performing since the mid 80s. When you were just, you know, teenager, very, very young, and you're still out there rocking cities on a national tour as we speak. Now, how do you stay in shape, both mentally and physically, for decades while on the road? I mean, that's a grueling life to do. And you've been doing it for over 30 years.
I think it's, you know, it comes from home growing. You know, my mom, she was always about eat right and drink your water and take that craft and master it, you know. And then I try very, very hard to surround myself with camaraderie. It has to be family, and I have to love you. You know, you have to come across as family to me. And myself and Tony Minaj, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We always try to get people that are, you know, we can feel that they're into this and they're you know, about getting the job done and loving what they do. I work out a lot. I drink a lot of water, and my kids, my two boys, they keep me grounded.
Oh, yeah. They'll teach you. They'll tell you like it is. Kids have a way of doing that.
Absolutely.
Now, how old are they now?
Oh, 19 and 18.
Oh, that's great. That's an interesting age. I'm sure it's keeping you busy. Yeah, that is definitely keeping you busy and active.
They have grown into themselves, and they're men, and they're out there doing their thing and living the life. And that's all that I want. I want them to be happy.
Now, they were on stage with you. I saw a video where they were actually performing with you.
No, actually.
No?
No, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, I thought I saw something with your kids being on stage with you.
They were at the side of the stage, you could say that.
Oh, but there you go. They were there. They just were cheering you on.
They're still to this day. It's funny because they just recently started, you know, somewhat traveling with me and seeing it. Because when they were little, I remember bringing them on tour with me. But now I needed them to go to school and do what they needed to do to become real people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did they know their mom was Lisa Lisa? Or were you just mom? Did they know that you were this 80s pop icon that is just, you know, started trends and paved way? And, or do they just think you're mom?
They knew that mommy did a lot of traveling and was a singer, and she did a lot of performances. But I think now they're getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nostalgia for them because they look at the videos and they listen to the music, and now they're going around telling people, yeah, that's my mother.
Oh, yeah, they're proud. They're proud. I remember I used to do everything I could to not be around my parents. And then as I got older, I was like, you know what? This is okay. They're cool. They're cool.
I used to love being around my mom because everything was about music. I mean, we used to wake up on weekends and we cleaned to music. We did homework to music. Everything we did was to music. And she put an archive in here. And I remember all that.
Well, also, I think she gave you a very well-rounded taste because you're very eclectic. You had enormous success in multiple genres, a freestyle, hip-hop, R&B, even pop. What style, though, if, you know, out of all of them, what is the one that you personally identify with the most, and which do you like the best?
Oh, my God. I'm an R&B head.
Yeah.
I really, really am. But I was raised on salsa and anything. So R&B.
All right. I can agree with that. I actually really, really like R&B as well. And I hear that. And especially even in the montage that I played in the beginning, you just hear that come out of you so easily.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, how much input did you have in the recording process when making the albums with Cold Jam? Were you involved in the writing process at all? Did they rely on you, or did they just say, hey, look, this is it. Come in. You performed it and you just went on stage and kicked butt.
Well, the very first time that I met the guys, they handed me the cassette with a chorus, and that was I Wonder If I Take You Home. And then from there, everything was about a conversation, you know, and that's how they wrote. You know, and I did some of the writing with them. Again, it was all about a conversation, and we started writing like that. But, you know, I think the guys had ideas, and I vocally, you know, the texture of my voice, where they wanted to go. Because in the beginning, when they first hired me,
I know, does that sound weird? I know, right?
They were looking to make a 3-girl group, female vocalist, vocal group, and the guy that I was talking about was Cult Jam, Mike Hughes.
Yes.
And he was a roadie for them, and he really wanted to put a group together with them. So he sort of begged them, please, let's make it, you know, Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. And we did that. But everything, because of the texture of my voice, they wanted to go towards the Motown sound. So we tapped into everything there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, your voice is an instrument. That was another instrument they could put in the arrangements. And why not capitalize on what your God-given talents are? They had a really good way of doing that, too. They really could know what you would excel on. And obviously hit after hit after hit. They got it. They got it. So did you. Now, I am having a great time chatting with the multi-platinum selling recording artist Lisa Lisa. After the short break, we're going to come back with more about Lisa. But you don't want to miss this. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
Tired of shopping for furniture and not finding what you want? Concerned about quality, value, or reputation of most online stores? GrossmanFurniture.com is your answer. We've been furnishing homes for 95 years, and we continue to offer our customers the best price every day, guaranteed. We specialize in customizing over 200 leading brands of furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. See why we've been the go-to furniture choice in historic Philadelphia for almost a century. Shipping nationwide, coast to coast, our virtual GrossmanFurniture.com showroom makes it easy and comfortable for you to shop online for quality furniture and decor. Check out our exclusive Made in America furniture lines. Visit us online today and allow us to help you make your dream house your dream home. Log on at GrossmanFurniture.com. That's GrossmanFurniture.com.
All right, you're not likely to be see them. They're on the beach asking the musical question, I wonder if I take you home. You know who they are by now.
Oh, yes. Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and you just heard a clip from a Lisa Lisa and Cold Jam performing on Dick Clark's Rock and Roll Summer Action Show all the way back to August 21st, 1985. And I am here now, I know, with the fabulous platinum-selling hitmaker Lisa Velez, better known as Lisa Lisa, one-third of the chart-topping Lisa Lisa and Cold Jam. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you, honey, for having me.
This is fun. This is really fun for me.
Thank you.
Well, you've been so sexy, but successfully, I guess. Oh, that was a Freudian slip on my part. My producer, Matt, is laughing here. We're going to get into that. We're going to get onto that, too. But you've been successfully making music and performing for almost 40 years. And most artists are lucky to get even 5 minutes of fame. What do you think is the main reason that you've been able to shine in a very brutal industry for so many years?
Hard question. I think it's because of their music. It's very acceptable, relatable. You know, it's all about growing up in the eyes of the public, I feel. It has a taste of everything in it, every genre of music we've tried to tap into. I pray that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's your faith. I think you just have such a wonderful, wonderful outlook, and you just have that beauty of spirit that radiates through. And I think that kind of probably helps a lot, too.
It does, I think. Thank you for that. Thank you. I do appreciate that. I want the audience to capture my love for what I do, because I really, really love to perform. So
you can see it. And you've had iconic hits that are very well known after all these years, though, and you're still out there doing it. Are there any that just kind of bother you now to perform? Are there any that you're kind of like, I really don't ever want to sing that again, but it's my jam, and I kind of have to. But is there any that kind of have worn on you over the years?
Nope.
That's why you're successful. That's why you're hanging in there.
I love doing it all. I really do. Getting up there and watching the audience. The audience is everything for me, mind you. They're the ones who have kept us out here, you know, doing our stuff. You know, if we didn't have that audience, we would not have a stage to perform on. But I like it all. I love it all. I love to watch the audience and see the fans and their children and their children's children. And, you know, everybody still knows the lyrics. And thank you.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
Also, though, not just music. You blazed a path in music, but you had a unique style. You actually set a fashion trend, and girls everywhere were dressing and singing like you in the 80s. How much of your look was you, or was it more of an image that the label wanted to kind of project? I mean, was it this was your style and you put it out there, or was there some kind of like image styling thing going on?
Well, in the beginning, it was the label and my producers. They wanted to give me an image because I was so young. So they were trying to make me older. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think first of all, the hair was an accident. It was a mistake. I used to cut my own hair.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I shaved one side shorter than the other, uh-huh. And then I got bald spots, so I had to let the hair grow to cover it, uh-huh. And that started something there.
I didn't know that. You heard that here, America. I had no idea. It's like the stick up notes. You know, it was an accident, and then you know, post-its became born. The amazing hairstyle trend of the 1980s, and it was an accident.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if my childhood is like ruined now because of that. No, but it was cool. And if anybody could pull that off, I don't think I could have, but you could pull that off. And it really became, I saw you on the Dick Clark, you know, being on, you know, American Bandstand. They were interviewing you. And I mean, that was your signature and you owned it.
Thank you. I think I wanted to go for anything that, you know, the young girls could go out and purchase. You know, so everything was very basic. Anything that I can get my hands on. I did a lot of I used to shop, and I still do shop in thrift stores. I'm a thrifty, so and I loved prints.
So there you go. Those two things together. Now, Looking back, and I'm sure you watch footage and you watch yourself, is there anything that you kind of regret doing? Where you look back, you go, how did I do that? Why did I look like that? Are you happy with every choice you made?
I'm both.
Yeah.
I look back today and go, what the hell? But it's okay because you know what? It was everything I could get my hands on. So, okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all good.
And girls were emulating it and copying it and buying it. And whatever it did, it worked. It worked.
Yeah. I remember being on stage and looking into the audience and seeing all of that. The girls dressing just like me. And I was in awe, quite frankly. I was like, wow, y'all crazy, but thank you.
Oh, I want to change gears a little. You crossed over to acting. You starred in shows like Law & Order, SVU, and Nickelodeon's Tyena. What made you want to make that next step in the evolution of your career?
I think it's normal for all of us, you know, actors to go into singing and singers going into acting, because it's all about a portrayal of, you know, it's my music. I got to act it out on stage. I want to make sure that they believe everything that I'm saying. I majored in musical theater when I was in school. So I absolutely had to get into that. I had to do it. And, you know, for me to be able to walk into a crowd and the creator of Tyena, Maria Perez Brown, to just say to my publicist at the time, I've been looking for Lisa. And I stepped to the side and said, I'm right here. What do you want?
And you're double. You're Lisa. Lisa, you're even double that.
Yeah. You know,
if anyone was born for the role, I just think it's you.
I loved it. I loved it. She said, I have created this character and I want you in this show. And this show was basically about, you know, a teenage girl from Manhattan, from New York, wanting to be a star. My life right
yep.
there.
Yep.
Great. That had to do with, you know, making an audience believe what I'm trying to put out there. I had to get into.
Now, something I learned, and I got to find out if it's true or not. Is it true you turned down the role of Lisa in Coming to America with Eddie Murphy? I guess that's a yes.
Yeah. Every time I think of that, I just want to smack myself. But you know what? Things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was given that script when it was being created. And I was trying to be a good wife at the time when it was handed to me. And I said no to the script because of my then husband. He was very jealous. So I said no.
Men. It's always men. It's always men. I don't know. I'm going to go off on a whole other topic here. But but you know what? Like you said, you know what? Things happen for reasons. And if that wasn't the time for you to do that role, then there was something else made for you along the way. So.
Because the actress who got the part, she is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. God bless her.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm envisioning what you would have done with the role. I think that would have been very cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that too. Wow.
Now, how would you have played Lisa differently? What would you have envisioned Lisa to be on Coming to America?
Honestly, I don't think I can envision her being any different.
Mm.
You know, okay, now that that it's done and to watch it, I don't think it should have been done any different. Me, I would have done it the same way.
There you go. See, well, that's, you know, that's quite a compliment to her that you just can't see it any other way now.
I can't. Wow. Not at all.
Well, I'm having a fabulous time with the blazing pioneer, trendsetter Lisa made history as the first Puerto Rican Latina artist to cross over to the pop and R&B charts. We're going to talk more with the 80s singing superstar right after this. Looking to get your brand to millions of people without wasting money on platforms that don't deliver your message to the right customers? Well, worry no more. Hi, I'm Doreen Taylor, and I'm so proud to announce that The Scene with Doreen is now syndicated across the good old USA. My show is one of the fastest rising new radio shows in the country and a great way to reach a large audience and deliver your message to potential customers nationwide. People hate commercials, but now they don't have to because we create ads that are as great as your business. Become part of this incredible journey with us and let us make your business the celebrity on The Scene with Doreen. Join The Scene with Doreen family. Visit us at thescenewithdoreen.com or call us at 856-625-2375. That's 856-625-2375.
Tired of shopping for furniture and not finding what you want? Concerned about quality, value, or reputation of most online stores? GrossmanFurniture.com is your answer. We've been furnishing homes for 95 years, and we continue to offer our customers the best price every day, guaranteed. We specialize in customizing over 200 leading brands of furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. See why we've been the go-to furniture choice in historic Philadelphia for almost a century. Shipping nationwide, coast to coast, our virtual GrossmanFurniture.com showroom makes it easy and comfortable for you to shop online for quality furniture and decor. Check out our exclusive Made in America furniture lines. Visit us online today and allow us to help you make your dream house your dream home. Log on at GrossmanFurniture.com. That's GrossmanFurniture.com.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, and I have been lucky enough to be chatting with 80s pop icon Lisa Lisa of Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. You just heard a clip of her great 1989 tune, Just Get It Together, with ex-girlfriend doing backing vocals and featuring hip-hop group UTFO. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you. I want to give a shout-out to Kangol. Rest your beautiful, beautiful soul.
If that doesn't get you moving, I don't know what does. I mean, that's just the groove and everything. It had all the elements thrown in, and it's fun. It's good and fun. And I think it's aged real well, too.
It has. It has. I don't know. I think it was great because people related, and it was fun, and it was all about the clubs and just jamming and having a good time. That's what that was about.
We need to go back to that a little. I think people are just too serious now. I think we need to have fun a little more in this country. We're not doing it right now. Right? Don't we need to laugh and party and dance and just have a good time?
We definitely do. And I pray that everything that is about to come gets there again.
I think I'm with you on that. And I keep my fingers crossed. And I just think when there's good people in the world putting out good energy, it just has to go well.
We need so much of that. We lost a lot of that, especially when, you know, going through this COVID thing. Oh. People lost a lot of that. They lost people and they lost the sense of, you know, freedom. And let's just get back to reality and love. Let's get just peace and love. It's about music.
Yes. Now, how did you fare during COVID? I mean, what did you do to bide your time? And were you making music? Did you learn, like, did you take up like needlepoint? I mean, what did you do during COVID? I learned how to garden. I was out in my garden all the time. I made like beautiful gardens and fountains and stuff because I had nothing else to do.
What we did was we did a lot of performing via, you know, online.
Yeah.
We did Zoom concerts and we kept it moving and music. We kept recording. We would do it, you know, through our homes and filming. We kept it going. we definitely kept it going.
Yeah. Now, was it difficult for you? It was a very weird transition to go from live performing and then having to be in a little box called Zoom, you know, like in like now almost. But it was just making music is tough.
Yeah, it was very tough because I feed off of the audience of, you know, that crazy roar. I feed off of that. But it was okay because we were able to Zoom. We were able to Zoom and put all that together and put those concerts out there. And
thank goodness.
It was fulfilling. It was fulfilling.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank goodness. I think we're past that. And I hopefully that will never happen again. I don't know. I never thought it would happen the first time. But hopefully we can just say that we, you know, one and done. And we all learned from it.
Wait for another like 20 decades. Don't do that to us now.
That's what I'm saying. I want to be long gone before that ever happens again.
Knock on wood.
You've collaborated, especially hearing that clip on the way out. You've numerous artists like UTFO. Is there an artist, though, outside your normal musical wheelhouse that you'd love to collaborate with on a project that maybe you haven't?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. I've been searching for Rafael Sadiq.
Oh, Matt's shaking his head right now. My producer, he's going, oh, yeah.
And I've been looking for, I love this man, and his creativity is so strong and beautiful. I would love to work with him. There's so many though, you know, Maxwell and I just watched an episode of something that was being aired, and my old friends Digable Planets were on there, and it's their 30th anniversary, and I would love to work with them. Who knows?
One of my good friends plays in their band. So, again, you're putting it out there. Maybe you never know.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Let's just make beautiful music, people.
And, you know, I think that's what people are going to take away from Lisa and Cold Jam. It's making good music and, again, just loving the craft, loving just making people happy, which is infectious.
Yes, and that's what I live for. I love what I do. It may sound redundant, but I'm going to keep doing it for as long as God permits me.
And you're doing it. You're actually on tour this entire summer. I was looking at your list of cities. You're in New York. You're all over the place. I mean, you're traveling. And do you like the wear and tear of travel, though? I know you love being on stage, but that actual living out of a suitcase and getting to the hotel. And do you like it?
Whatever, like I said, whatever it takes to get up on that stage and perform, you know, within reason, I'm going to do. So I don't mind all of that at all. We're going to be June 7th at Radio City.
Right near us. We're outside Philadelphia right now. So I would love to come up and meet you.
You should.
I would love that.
That's the whole weekend of the Puerto Rican Day Parade, which is the 9th. So, and I'm lucky to be, I'm going to be honored for the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I'm their madrina this year. And that's going to be, it's this year for me, it's everything about my people, my Latinos, my Puerto Ricans, you know, I'm being honored. So I'm so grateful.
Congratulations. You should be honored. That is such a beautiful thing. I'm so happy that's happening for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And what is the date of that? What is the date that you're being honored?
June 9th.
June 9th. Okay. Okay.
The Puerto Rican Day Parade, and we're going to be out there. And by the way, little treat. Right after the parade, if you guys friend me on my IG, LisaLL77, we're going to be doing a listening party afterwards. We'll tell you where the venue is, and we're going to be doing a listening party for new music that I'm going to be releasing that midnight.
It's
No Llorare Más, and that's the salsa version of All Cried Out.
Oh, yay. Is this an exclusive? Did I just get an exclusive?
You sure did.
Oh, I love it. Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that with me and my listeners. I mean, that's, oh, how amazing. I got goosebumps when you said that. I did. I just felt like the spirit go right through me. I really did.
Thank you so much. I'm getting goosebumps because I'm so excited about it. So excited.
Oh, well, did everyone, did you hear that? If not, play it back, listen to that again, and go and be part of that, because that is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I mean, to get Lisa like that, oh, I mean, that's amazing. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I do want to talk about that you, in June 2019, you signed with Snoop Dogg's Army. You were part of the Snoop Dogg Entertainment Company. Talk about collaborations. How was that experience? How was it working with Snoop Dogg?
He's fun. He's so much fun.
He loves you. Oh, does he love you?
I love him. And let's do a collabo. Come on, Snoop. I'm putting it out there. He's such a busy man. He's got his hand in everything right now. Mm. So he's also working with Bobby D Presents, and he is the management company that we're under. And Tony Minaj at Minaj Works, Inc., my assistant, and we're just doing great things. It is an honor that he chose me.
Oh, I think it was not just an honor, because I think it was just, duh, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't he? Come on.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's just, you know, when someone gets it, you know, that I want to, you know, what I plan on doing and what I have done and everything that I have in my heart and in my thoughts that I want to put out there, he got it. He definitely got it.
Mm-hmm. How many icons are there really? I know we talk, Matt and I talk about this all the time. People like to throw that word around, especially recently, but it is a very sacred word to me, and I don't throw it around, you know, and I truly, you are a pop icon. You really are. You have created a sound. You created a style. You created so much. If you're not an icon, I don't know who would be. I really don't.
Oh my God. Thank you. I think about that sometimes now, because I never focused on any of that back in the day, but I appreciate it. And whatever doors I've opened for anybody. Thank you.
All right. So curiosity question.
Sure.
What's the last song you've listened to?
The last song I listened to?
Mm-hmm.
My song.
Good for you.
my salsa version of All Cried Out. That was the last song I listened to.
There you go. Good
before
answer.
That?
Yeah, before that. What was it before that?
Tina Marie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I love her. I'm her biggest fan. Rest her soul. Mm. Oh, I love her.
Mm-mm-mm. No. What advice would you give to young performers who want to push musical boundaries based on your own experiences of blazing a trail for other artists? What would you tell the young artists right now?
That they're very lucky that they have social media. So take that craft and master it and put your music out there, because somebody will hear you. I didn't have any of that back then. So it was about getting my feet in that door, you know, every mom and pop record store or record label, and getting on the phone, you know, to speak to radio stations. When we first started, you know, we'd be on a tour and we'd have to jump off a tour bus and get on a payphone.
Payphones. Oh, wow.
Get on that radio show and promote. But, you know, take that craft, master it, believe in yourself. Okay. And have everything in black and white, a lawyer.
Yes. People forget that. It's two sides of the brain. I know there's creative, but people need to think like a business person nowadays.
Yeah, that's really difficult. And it was hard for me, but I learned so much in this business. So just take that.
You had an allowance, right? When you were just starting out, you were given an allowance. So you kind of were managed in a way that where you didn't have the ability to just spend. You were kind of, you know, given money a little at a time.
Yeah. I mean, we were kids on the road, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, we handled our thing right, you know. But I have to say that even with that, I mishandled a lot. Well, and I learned on the way.
What was the first splurge that you made when you really realized that, wow, I'm pulling an actual dough here? What was the first thing you just went and bought?
I bought dinner for my whole entire family. Aww. Family, yes. There was 10 of us and my mom. And we went to Benihana's and we ate to our heart's content. And I paid the bill. That was the first thing I ever splurged.
How old were you? How old do you think you were at that point?
I was 16.
Wow.
I remember when I got that first big check.
Wow. 16.
Yeah. And then I paid all the bills.
What a good, so what a good daughter you are. What a good daughter.
I really, really, it was about, I remember, I mean, the youngest of 10, and that's how we were raised. You know, we had to cook and clean and maintain everything. And my mom, single mom, she took care of everybody. And I remember I said to her, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to have a worry in the world. And that's what I did. I wanted to do that.
Oh, I'm going to be all cried out now. Did you like out? Matt just did the drum roll, the room shot thing. Yes. But no, really, that touched me. You know, because that, again, I want to go back to that question that I asked you. What made you sustain this for so long? And I really think it's because of those things that you did. You chose to really give. You didn't take. You gave. The first thing your instinct was is to buy dinner for your family and pay the bills. I mean, what kid at 15, 16 wants to do that? And you did it.
Yeah, I guess because that's how I was raised. I guess, again, going back to, it's all about homegrown, you know, the way I was raised. My mom, she loved music and she loved being, you know, surrounded by her family, her kids, and cooking. And you know, I love that camaraderie. Everything about family was it for me, and music. So to be able to put that out there as my career goes on, it's about making people happy for me. My music is my language.
That's beautifully said. That's beautiful. You should trademark that or write a song about that. Music is my language. I love that.
Oh, I got to remember that.
That is good. I like that.
My music is my language. Remember that?
Yep, and it's here forever. And you know what? I want a liner note credit. I don't think they do liner notes anymore, but I want to thank you for that. So what's next for you, Lisa Lisa?
Oh, so much.
Besides Puerto Rican Day Parade and Radio City Music Hall, but what else? Is there something else you can tell me that may be in the works? I know we got one exclusive. Are there any other exclusives going on here?
I have a book that we're writing right now that will be released. There's talk about this movie that I may be doing. A documentary. And so let's see what that comes about. Uh-huh. But this touring is still on it. I got this fantastic band, So Disrespectful, that we're out there putting out great music and touring. I'm just trying to get it all in. Next year is the 40th anniversary of I Wonder If I Take You Home.
Oh my gosh.
What we want to do is we're putting together this tour. 40 days, 40 venues. I don't care where. It's going to be put together. Look out for that.
Oh, that's so great. 40 years. Wow. Like I said, most people can't get 5 minutes of fame. 40 years for that huge breakout song that just really, I mean, took over the world by storm. I mean, it made you guys a household name.
Yeah, put me on the map, so I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the audience, number one. And look out for that tour, please. It's going to happen.
Oh, great. And we're kind of winding down here, and I only have you for a little bit. So I kind of want to just wrap it all up and ask you one final question. You've seen so much, being so successful in the industry for over 30 years now, almost 40 years. What are the biggest changes you've seen in the industry since you first started, and where do you see music going in the next 30?
I think the biggest change is that there is social media and everybody could get their style out there. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for the kids to go out there and put their music out and they will be seen. So they can be independent rather than being signed to a label. They can just put themselves out there. Where I see music going in the future, we got to get back to originality and the sound of live band, live music. Mm. You know, that's what's needed. And I think that's the direction that we're taking.
Good. And I think less AI, but I don't see that happening. We talk about it in every episode with all my guests, and it's a scary thing, and it's still in its infancy. So we don't know. But
it's scary. Yeah. But I have faith that, you know, we're going to go back to originality and live band. I think that that's where it's going to go. I pray to God. I'm putting it out there in the universe.
Amen. I'm with you on that. Oh, I think people are going to be very sick of an artificial world, artificial intelligence, artificial this. We got to get back to real. Like the.
It doesn't sound the same. Does it? Bottom line, it doesn't sound the same.
Yes, not at all. The heart and soul is not there.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. Music is heart and soul. And that is what you have, my friend.
Thank you.
I love you. And speaking of real, therealLisaLisa.com. Check you out online. Check out your tour dates. Check out your music. Look at some of the things that she talked about, because they're all going to be coming to fruition soon. And just keep us updated. And anytime you come out with a book or the documentary or anything, please come back. I would want to do like a 10-day thing with you.
Oh, wait, that's dope. We can do that.
All right. I'm moving in. I'm coming to live with you. You got another kid.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I wish you all the success in the world. You already have it, but the sky is the limit for even more that you're going to be doing. And I'm so excited for all the things you have coming up.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless the fans.
And bless you too. And thank you for spending some time on the scene with Doreen with me today.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you to my amazing guest today, LisaLisa, and thank you again for tuning into The Scene with Doreen. I'm here each and every week across the country bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And make sure to tune in next week so you can find out what's going on. Bye.